Can I thank those of you who were able to come down to Limekilns last Sunday and enjoy the service with the moderator. I know that Limekilns folk were very appreciative of seeing how many guests were there. Elaine.
Thank you. Good morning. So welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book, which is in the vestibule. The Christmas fair yesterday, a very big thank you to all who attended the fair yesterday and everyone involved in organising and running the event. The amazing amount raised was £1,222, and George is very happy about that. But there are cakes and craft items still for sale out in the vestibule and the Irene Patterson room. So on your way out, just have a look. The Blythewood Shoebox Appeal. We'll dedicate our shoeboxes today and supporting donations. But if you haven't contributed yet, you can check with me whether it's, well, you can arrange a late donation because they're not all going away today. It'll be a couple of weeks. Remembrance Day. So next Sunday, the 9th of November, is Remembrance Day. Our service will be slightly shorter than normal and we'll proceed to the War Memorial for the Act of Remembrance afterwards. Following that, the Masonic Hall will be open for soup and sandwiches. The Warm Welcome and Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church will be open on Thursday afternoons between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock from November until March. The Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week. The first films are Women in Gold on 6th of November and The 100-Foot Journey on 13th of November. Films start at 2 o'clock. Admission is free and tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. The discussion group will meet on Thursday the 6th of November at 7 o'clock. Either the Manse or the Irene Patterson room. This mainly for planning and social purposes looking ahead to Advent. And then Lego Club. There will be a Lego Club event in church on Saturday the 8th of November between 10 and 11:30. Kids build something from a well-known Bible story. Children must be accompanied by a parent. Admission is free. A tea and coffee will be available for adults. Contact Irene Scott. And Gift Day. We will dedicate gift day offerings on Sunday the 16th of November. There will be further communications about this event shortly. And before the order of service, just a note that Limekilns Parish Church are having their Christmas bazaar in the church on Saturday the 29th of November from 2 until 4 p.m. And we'll leave this notice in the vestibule. The other thing that I'm going to put in the vestibule is something from Alzheimer's Scotland. They run various activities for people with dementia and elderly people throughout Fife. The emphasis is really on brain health. So I'll leave this out in case anybody knows of anybody that might be interested in any of their activities. So now a look at the order of service.
So let's worship God now. We're going to sing hymn number 103, Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness.
Thank you.
let's dedicate our offerings. Almighty God, receive the money that we present before you. Receive our gifts of time and of talent. Receive the gifts that we have given that will go via Blytheswood to those who have so much less than we have. Bless all of our giving to your glory and to your praise and to the service of your people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayers that I'm using today come from the Church of Scotland website and the service for today. They are, of course, amended slightly because I can never quite follow a script as it is written. So let's worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, in the music of our hymns and the words of our songs, we worship and praise you this morning. You are the Creator who inspires our wonder, the King who deserves our praise. What can we do for you, Lord God Almighty? How can we respond to your kindness toward us? There is no gift that could ever repay your love or do justice to the good things that you have given. We can but praise you with rejoicing voices and the silent adoration of our hearts. Most gentle God, we confess that we do not always feel like praising you. We lose sight of your wonder in the ordinary things of life. We forget your goodness when times are hard to bear. Our lives are not always true to the faith we profess. Forgive us when we dishonour you, and help us when we find ourselves struggling. Hear us now as we take a moment of quiet to repent of the wrong in our lives. We rejoice in your loving, compassionate, and forgiving touch. Lead us gently onwards to brighter and better places where we can regain a vision of your glory. Awaken us now to your living presence as we gather within your house. Pardon our inadequate efforts and complete our offering with your abundant grace. Enable us to praise you with the music of worship and also with the music of our lives. We offer these and all our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We sing now hymn number 202, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. In a book of daily prayers, I found what is described as a reflection rather than a prayer, and is attributed to an unknown soldier of the American Civil War. I used this in the opening worship at our Kirk Session meeting on Wednesday, so the elders here have heard this before. The meditation says, I ask God for strength that I may achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I may do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have people's praise. I was given weakness that I might feel my need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I was given nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Despite myself, my prayers were answered. I, among all people, most richly blessed. In this meditation, one man's realization of the great difference between wants and needs. The realization coming from the greater truth that God answers our need, not our want. In the Gospels, we frequently come across the idea that the Messiah, God's anointed Saviour, the Christ in Greek, will be related to King David. The Messiah is referred to as Son of David. Jesus' genealogy in Matthew and Luke's Gospels includes David as one of his forebears. The picture that the people had was that of the warrior king anointed by God, a spiritual as well as military leader. The real David that we find in 1 and 2 Samuel is far more human than the legend and the person that the people believed was going to be the Messiah. The real David was the greater David than the legend. If you read comics in the past, or you've been introduced to the audio-visual world of today where there are heroes and superheroes, most of these heroes and superheroes of fiction have a superpower. King David had a superpower. When faced with his own failure in terms of sin and evil, he would confess and repent. It wasn't the great warrior, it was the man who stood humbly before God. Some of his wants brought grief. His need was to be right with God. And this is what David tells us in Psalm 32, one of our readings this morning. And then in our reading from 1 Peter, a call to Christian integrity and a reminder that such integrity will not always be easy, nor will it always be recognized. So we're going to read now part of Psalm 32 and some of the verses from 1 Peter chapter 3. Kath is going to read for us.
As Norman has already said, our reading comes from Psalm 32 and its verses 1 to 7. I will confess my sin. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one
whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the risings of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And our New Testament reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 16, suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to do you harm if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And may God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen.
Hymn 461. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. On our return from holiday, Eleanor spent last Sunday with us, and going off to Perth back home, she left a book behind her. It's the second of Charlie McKessie's books about the boy, the mole, the fox and the horse. I hope some of you may remember that book, and maybe you remember the film that was made of the book that was released on Christmas Eve in 2022. This one, very strangely, somebody said, I'd really like to get that book. What was it called again? And I said, oh, it's gone. I'll go and pick it up, and you know, the name is gone. And then I looked at it, and the name is Always Remember. A little bit of irony. It's about a storm, the four characters encountering a storm. In reality, it's a book about life. On the back cover, it says, one day you'll look back and realise how hard it was and just how well you did. In a very odd way, I sort of sympathise with the mole. And if you remember the first book, the cure for everything was cake. At the end of the book, McKessie says, the mole thought this was going to be a cake recipe book, so this page is for him. And here are the mole's ingredients for the cake of love. 1 kilo of kindness, 1 ladle of letting go, 1 pinch of patience, 1 gram of gratitude, heaps of love, 1 handful of humility, 1 jug of joy. And right at the end it says, this recipe never fails. When I looked at that recipe for the cake of love, I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul's great definition of love in that very well-known chapter of the Bible is not a one-off. You'll find bits of 1 Corinthians 13 in almost all of Paul's letters, sprinkled through. He returns again and again to the theme of love and how to live love as Christian people. Not a great surprise. When we turn to the Gospels, Jesus' overriding command is that we should love. And by that, base our love on his example of living out the love of God. And there is certainly something of living out love in the passage that we read from 1 Peter today. Last week, in her sermon on 1 Peter, the moderator, Rosie, presented us with a meditation on 1 Peter chapter 2, where Paul talks of living stones being built into a spiritual house. And there she talked about the big stones, the big important stones, and the smaller, somewhat odd, misshapen stones. Now, I am going to hazard a guess that most of us did not think of ourselves as big, important stones, but when she talked about the odd, misshapen stones, I think an awful lot of us were nodding and saying, that's me. As I left church yesterday and walked towards the manse, there was a perfect example right there before me. Like many buildings in Scotland, there are the dressed stones, those that are carved and smooth and very carefully placed. They're at the corners. They're surrounding the windows and the doors. But the vast majority of the wall is made up of what's sometimes called rubble. The little misshapen stones, all held together with lime mortar. I wonder what we would have seen had we been down at the lime kilns manse, or many of the buildings or manse next door, while they were being built back in the day. The masons would have put a lot of work into creating those perfectly shaped stones to give the corners, the windows, the lintels, all of those bits that we look at, and you can see how carefully they've been carved and how sharp the edges are. Those stones took a lot of hammering and shaping to be what they are. If we look at those who are the great figures of faith in the Bible and since, they go through much more trying times to be fit for purpose. Maybe there is a benefit to being a small misshapen stone. But even those small misshapen stones have to fit the place where they're going. And the mason will take a stone and knows that it's going to go in that place, but it might need some of the edges knocked off. We are being built into a spiritual house, and sometimes bits need to be chipped off. And sometimes the uneven gaps need to be filled with mortar. In the living temple that is being built to the glory of God, we may know ourselves to be less important than some folk, but God has a unique place for each of us. It is God who is the master builder. The stones do not tell the mason where they belong. The mason chooses and shapes the stones to fit the place where he sees and knows that they go. And the mortar that binds us together, that fills the gaps where our rough edges cannot meet, is love. Peter's advice on love picks up many of the attributes that we find in Paul's letters and in Jesus' teaching. Both Peter and Paul ask us to reflect in our living the love of God that Jesus both lived and proclaimed. And through that love, we become a blessing to the world. When we go to the New Testament and read about those who are regarded as the key figures in God's plan of salvation, it is clear that people like Peter and Paul know that they are a work in progress. Reading between the lines, and sometimes not between the lines, we get something akin to astonishment that Peter and Paul find that they are doing the things of God. Because they know what they are. They know that they're rough stones. They don't think of themselves as those key stones in the building. It's Jesus who puts them there. It is God who has chosen and gifted them to be what they are. And so they attribute those great things not to themselves but to God. And when they get things wrong, as they did, they have the readiness to confess and through repentance learn from their mistakes. Repeating what the real David did, not the legend, but the real man, they also lived out in their lives. Neither pride nor despair help us in our Christian living. When Peter says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right," he knows that these Christian people he's writing to have suffered for their faith. At the beginning of the letter, which we looked at a few weeks ago, he talks about them them being refugees in the world. In a kind of odd way, he is encouraging faith in the face of opposition and persecution by emphasizing the good that is in them and the good that they are doing. He says that opposition and persecution, even these things, reveal God's blessing. And we don't need to be afraid. In all things and in all circumstances, we have God with us. With the confidence of knowing that we are children of the living God, we don't need to fear, or put another way, we don't need to be defensive. When someone has a go at you for your faith, God does not need to be defended. Rather, God is your strength. We are called to a quiet confidence that has nothing to do with our righteousness nor our courage. The most powerful way to proclaim the gospel is with gentleness and respect. And to quote the end of McKessie's book, we have a recipe that never fails. The love which we own is infinite and eternal. It is of God. By living that love, we revere Christ as Lord. Amen. We're going to sing now the hymn that we know as the Prayer of St. Francis, hymn number 528. offer now our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Loving and compassionate God, we pray for your world, a world caught up in the pain of human greed and knowing a hunger for righteousness. Open our ears to hear your groaning with us, to know your heart of love. In Jesus' name, enable us to stand beside all who struggle. We think of those who live with poverty, hunger, war, oppression, and all those things that divide us one from another, all of our prejudices that bring so much violence to earth. We remember the daily denial of dignity to so many who are your children on this earth. We pray that you will tune our hearts to your pain and your desire for good for all of humanity, so that we may recognize that in the midst of this world, even where there is great evil, you are at work. For you do not abandon us, and are with us in all the paths of life, whether we recognize it or not. We pray for those who have power and influence, the leaders of nations. We remember those whose power comes from wealth or celebrity. We pray for those who use the insecurities of others for their own selfish and destructive practices. We pray for a change of heart and for your love to prevail in the lives of those who choose wrong. We remember too those who spend their lives to serve those on the margins, who go to the most dangerous of places. We think of aid agencies and aid workers, those who go toward danger when others flee, those who carry with them the love and the desire to bring life and not death. As we pray for those in need, we remember the people of the Caribbean in the aftermath of the hurricane of this week. The destruction, the death and the loss that we have seen in the news and on our television screens. We think too of the desperate needs of the people of Gaza and Sudan and so many other places on earth where conflict and war brings so much violence, destruction and death, and so much suffering to so many people. And thinking of those who are closer at hand in terms of their suffering, we pray for those who are ill, who are bereaved, who are lonely, that they may know that you are with them. We ask you to grant peace and healing to those who are going through difficult times. And now, in a moment of quiet, we offer our private and personal prayers for those who are very close to us. In the name of Christ, you who are our help, our hope and our home, we offer these our prayers. Amen. Hymn number 513. Courage, brother, do not stumble. Christ, to share that love with the world in humility and in faith. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.